an awesome time in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Got to be amongst other pastors and leaders, and had hands laid on us by the president of Faith Christian Fellowship, Pat Harrison, and words of prophecy that was spoken over our lives. It was exciting, and I'm excited for the days and the weeks to come. I'm excited about what God's getting ready to do. And we also had an opportunity to fly to Dallas. My wife has an aunt that lives in Dallas. She's a preacher in Dallas, Texas, and she's just 86. And man, I thought I was going to go and minister to this sister in Christ, and man, I got my socks blessed off. Amen. I mean, this woman was full of the Holy Ghost and power and the anointing of God, and she was sharp as a tack. She didn't miss one little thing. I mean, that she was quick. And just showed me that she said her mom lived to be 100, and I guess she was going to have to preach till she's 100. You know, so I thank God for the trip, and I thank God for the opportunity we had. But God has a plan in your life. God has a plan in every heart and life of every last one of us that are in the room. Amen? I mean, it's kind of interesting that God knows us by name. He called us, and it's not an accident that you're here today. God wants you to hear something. Amen? So I just pray that you just keep your ears and your heart opened and receptive to what God has to say. You know, last week I talked to you about let's lighten it up. Let's light it up. And we were talking about walking in love and walking in the light and walking in life. And you couldn't walk in love unless you walk in the light. You couldn't walk in the light unless you walk in newness of life. You can't walk in newness of life unless you walk in light and love. So it's just like God the Father is love. God the Son is light. God the Holy Spirit is life. So love, light, and life. And as we walk in that, we're able to walk in the fullness of God. But the Lord was speaking to me this week, and he was talking to me about a breach of the light. He was talking to me about the way the adversary is always casting shadows on the light. And so when he began to speak to me, he says the adversary's plan is always the same. He has no new tricks. God showed us him in the Word. He says his main ploy is to dilute the Word of God. If he dilutes it or waters it down, all of a sudden faith begins to deteriorate. And when faith comes from, when deterioration comes, it comes from deceit of the adversary. So so when he's doing this, God has always given us a strategy in his Word. And I want to start in Colossians chapter 2 to build a foundation for where we're going in God's Word today. So open your Bibles with me to Colossians chapter 2, and then we'll get to our text in a minute. When you're there, say amen. The Word of God says in Colossians 2, verse number 8, he says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." And when I was reading that, it just reminded me of something. Have you ever gone to a snack machine and you got the munchies? And you go to one of the vending machines and you look in the vending machine and there's this big bag of potato chips. That bag looks so good. And you put your coins or your money in the vending machine, you push the button, and your chips come down. And you're so excited, you get that bag of chips, this nice fluffy bag, and you open the bag, and all of a sudden, all the air comes out, and there's just a few chips inside there. Even though it looked so big, it really wasn't that big. It really wasn't that good. It's kind of disappointing. And that's the way it is with vain deception. Empty deception. It's like that potato chip bag. It looks so enticing. It looks so good. But in the inside, there really wasn't a whole lot there. So with that thought in mind, I want to take you to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we're going to listen to see what the Word of God has to say to you and us, you and I today. You know, when I'm thinking when I think of the adversary, I always look at the adversary like, I think of the Pentagon. And I see all these generals and these admirals sitting around a table planning war. And one thing that they know to plan war is they know their adversary. They know their enemy. And if they know their enemy, they can form a strategy to defeat him. And God, all the way through his word, reveals the adversary, reveals the enemy to you and I, so that we can be equipped to handle him. You know, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 1, Paul was writing to his student Timothy, and he's talking about what's coming to the world. And as we read this, we see this is already here. So let's start with verse 1. He says this: know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. So now he's speaking to the church. He's warning of the things to come. And now in verse 12, he gives you and I, the body of Christ, and gives his student Timothy instructions. He says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now, I want to stop there just for a second to bring a little edification. Because I'm having a problem with my finances isn't persecution. Because I get sick sometimes, it isn't persecution. Because I don't have what I want, it isn't persecution. What he's talking about is living godly. He says in verse 12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now, some people call me a holy roller. And if they want to call me a holy roller, they can call me a holy roller all they want. Because you guess what? Sometimes I may roll in the spirit, and you can call me a holy roller. You can call me a shouter. You can call me a radical. You can call me whatever. I want to be known as a man that's for God. And you and I, that when we live godly, amen, we're going to have some persecution. And when people say, well, Pastor, Becky, you don't have to do this. All you have to do is that. You don't have to give that much time. You don't have to do all that for the kingdom of God. All you have to do is believe in Jesus and do whatever you want, and everything's okay. They're liars. They're not telling the truth. There's no truth in them. God says that they that live godly shall suffer persecution. And you're going to receive persecution for living a godly life. Amen. People, when you're walking a holy life and you're doing things contrary to this world, people are not going to understand it. The Bible says the natural man does not understand the things of God. They are foolishness to them because they're spiritually discerned. In other words, if you're looking for the world to understand what you're doing, they're not going to understand it. I want to be radical. Amen. I don't want to do anything halfway. If it's just going to be halfway, I just leave it and go another way. I'm going to do it with all I got. I'm going to give it all the gusto. I want to walk into a room, and I pray someday when I walk in a room that they know a man of God walked into the room. Amen. I believe when we walk in a room, the whole atmosphere of the room ought to change. Because every time we walk in the room, the presence of God comes in the room. Because my body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost lives in me, and he lives in you. And you have all these people saying, what are you doing that for? You don't have to do this. You don't have to do that. Just lay back, man. Just go. You know, you don't have to go to church. Church isn't important. Guess what? Yes, it is. If it wasn't important, he wouldn't have put it in his word, not to forsake the assemblies of yourselves together as the manner of some is. He says it's important for you to be here. Why? Because we connect with each other. We encourage one another. We edify one another. We comfort one another. We build each other up. We speak the word. We speak it in season, out of season. We're ready to correct, to rebuke, to instruct, but all according to love and the doctrine of God. God doesn't want anybody to tear anybody down. There's enough of that in the world. We're here to love our brother and love our sisters and love them through God's word and let God's word avail in their hearts and lives. Amen. And I look at this, and the reason I'm going here is, hey, if you want to live a godly life, people ain't going to like it. guess who's not going to like it the most? A lot of times your relatives won't like it. You'll notice even your relatives won't hang around you so much. Because you know what? Every time I get into God's presence, there's a conviction that comes on my heart and my life. It isn't comfortable. Hello? That doesn't mean it isn't love. Amen? Amen. Let me calm down a minute. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I desire to be persecuted for living a godly life. And guess what? If I'm being persecuted about it, maybe I need to get a little more godly. Hello? Amen?
Amen?
Amen? Hey, he's speaking to me too. You know? He's speaking to everyone. I've told you 100 times, I'll tell you again, man, I'll listen to the message and the Holy Spirit's going to speak to me. I don't care how much I studied and prepared, he always says something here he didn't say out there. Ha, okay, let me go on. Now we'll get to the message, right? In other words, this is the thought. The thought that we're going to talk about today is all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So if he says, if you're living godly in Christ, he didn't say you might. He didn't say maybe. He said you're going to have some persecution. So then he tells us and warns us what's coming. Verse 13. He says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. What are they trying to seduce you from? Living godly. That's what he's talking about. In other words, right after he says anyone that lives godly is going to receive persecution, then all of a sudden he says to us, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto good works. So today, for the message this morning, I want to focus your attention unto verse number 13, which says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. The title of this morning's message is The Drag of Deception. A drag in the Word of God is like a net, a snare. So the drag, and what we're talking about, how deception snares or nets you or drags you and I down. Amen. Even the title has meaning. The adversary's plan is to dilute, to deteriorate, and to deceive. Can we ask God's blessing upon the preaching and teaching of the word? Can we lift our word together in the house today and make a declaration? Say, I believe this is the written word of God. God wrote it to me. I am what God's word says I am. I can have everything God's word says I can have. I can be who God says I can be. Today, I will hear God's word, and my life will be changed. It will never be the same. Lord, speak to your servant. My ears are open. My heart is attentive. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Thank you, Lord, that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we're so grateful, Lord, for your word, and we're grateful that you sent it here to accomplish what you sent it to the house to do. So, Lord, I pray that you speak through this vessel. May the words come forth with clarity and understanding, and may we all be bettered by hearing the preaching and teaching of your word. And when all is said and done, you'll receive the glory and all the honor, Father God. And we thank you and give you praise for this in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. But evil men and seducers. seducers. That word seducers comes from the Greek word goas, and it's spelled like G-O-E-S, spelled out, but it's pronounced goas. And goas is imposters and people that use seductive arts, sort of like the witchcraft or trickery. The adversary is very subtle. He'll always use tricks. Amen. He'll come in as the very appearance as an angel of light, the Bible says. And so he is subtle. He's not going to come back as this great tailed, horned, red devil, okay? He's going to come in as a thing of beauty, a thing that looks good, like that bag of chips. But inside, there is nothing but a bunch of air, you know? And so the Bible warns us of this. And if you open your Bibles with me to 1 Timothy, turn back your page to 1 Timothy. Chapter 4, verse number 1. Paul is in instructions to the student Timothy. He says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their consciences seared with a hot iron." In other words, the Spirit tells us and warns us that in the latter times, some were going to depart from the faith because they're believing a half-truth. You know, it's kind of interesting, even in our courts, if you went to court a time back, you would stand up, you would put your hand on the Bible, and you'd say, "I promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God." And what's happening in our world today is there's half-truths. And I want you to know that a half-truth is a lie. A half-truth isn't the truth at all. You know, and so God gave us this full word. It's from Genesis to Revelations. He's the Alpha. He's the Mega. He's the beginning. He's the end. He's the first. He's the last. And he is everything in between. And the Holy Spirit and God is warning you and I as his children. And the latter days, people are going to, there's all kinds of falsehoods that are going to come. Men and women are going to dilute the word to make it easier to swallow. How many know that sometimes the word is hard to swallow at times? And if you're eating something that's really hard to swallow, you need to take a drink of water. That's why God gave you and I the Holy Ghost. As we take a word, and if it's hard to swallow, I just need you to take a little drink of the Spirit and let the Spirit help that thing digest, help that thing go down in my body so that my body can receive the nourishment that comes from that word. So sometimes when words are hard to take, people don't swallow them because they're hard to swallow. And that's why God is saying we need to allow the Spirit of God and the water of the Spirit to allow that word to go down into our very core. Amen? And he's warning us. And why do you think in the word that God would warn us so much if these things weren't coming? And why do you think in God's word he would warn us if these things aren't happening even now? I think it's important for the church to wake up. I believe it's time for us to arise and see what's taking place in our world. Not only in the world, but in the body of Christ around the world. How the adversary has come in and he's taken the word and he sliced it and diced it and left it and all of a sudden there's no truth anymore. I don't want to offend anyone. Well, guess what? If I'm sharing the love of God and I'm sharing God's word and you take offense, your offense is with him, not with me. You take it up with him. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God. Amen? I'm not going to water it down. I'm not going to water it down. We're not going to dilute it so you can swallow it. Amen? That's the Holy Ghost's job, not mine. You know, the Word of God says, what happens when that word becomes diluted? We find it that in 2 Timothy, let me find where I'm at. In 2 Timothy 4, 4 verse 2, the Word of God says, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itchy ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. You know, and I want you to understand something. You know, when I was in Tulsa this week, the Holy Ghost said some things to me and the Lord spoke to my heart. And in ministry, there's things that are negotiable and there's things that are non-negotiable. There's things that are negotiable and there's things that are non-negotiable. And these are the seven non-negotiables the Lord showed me. One non-negotiable is the word. We're not going to negotiate with it. We're not going to change it. We're not going to draw from it. We're going to speak the whole truth and nothing but the truth. The second non-negotiable is the Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that leads us. Amen? In other words, the Lord would show me something. I was going through some hard time with some sheep. And I was looking as a shepherd. He said, you're not the shepherd. He said, I'm the shepherd. And they're my sheep. All I'm asking you to do is teach to my sheep. Preach to my sheep. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Amen. And I was taking on a responsibility that didn't belong to me. You have a shepherd, our high priest. He is the one. He is the one who leads you. All we're to do is to help each other grow in the knowledge of the one that we follow. Amen. You know, don't follow me, follow him. You follow me, you might end up in a ditch. Sometimes can the blind lead the blind? Amen. I pray that I'm not leading you in a ditch, but at the same time, we're following Jesus. And what if what I say doesn't align with the Word of God? Spit it out. If it doesn't align with the Word, don't digest it. You don't have to swallow something that doesn't belong to you. I don't know about you, but when I go to a restaurant, if I order a food and I don't like it, I don't eat it. I'm not going to eat it just because it's there. If it doesn't taste good, I'm going to spit it out. I'm not going to swallow it. So he gives us the guideline to go by, right? The Word and the Spirit. Another non-negotiable is the worship. Now listen to me. When I'm talking about worship, I'm talking about who we worship. I'm not talking about the method. I'm not talking about if it's fast, slow, in between. Some churches have rap. I'm not a rapper. I have a problem with rap. I'm not used to it, but hey, it may reach somebody. Amen? But at the same time, the one we worship. We worship the one true God. We're not worshiping the worship leader. All she's doing is leading us to the presence of God. Sometimes people get caught up in worshiping the magicians. Musicians too. That was free. You didn't have to pay for it. Hallelujah. Well, the people are all over the world worshiping magicians. But musicians, all they're doing is leading us to the presence of God. You know, everyone in the room has a gift. And your gift is just as important. My gift is just as important. We're all gifted by God. Amen? That's why he calls us a body. That's why there's so many parts. And every part is important. Amen? Amen? So what we're doing is we're gathered together in the atmosphere of God. Another thing that is non-negotiable is our mission. What God called the ministry for. It ain't going to change. God didn't make a mistake when he formed it. Amen? Another thing that won't change is the vision. God gave it, we're following it. The Bible says, without vision, the people perish. Another non-negotiable is our core values. And the last one is our priorities. We seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added. Amen. So there's non-negotiables, but there's some negotiables. The times of service, the methods are negotiable. Decoration is negotiable. You know, I mean, there's all kinds of negotiables. We don't have to be so stale that we fail. You hear me? We don't have to be stale. There's a generation that's lost and going to hell, and we don't want to lose a soul. God doesn't want to lose any. Man, I care about that next generation. Amen? I care about the young people. Amen? Hey, we got some young kids that God's raising up. They're going to go to win the loss for Christ. They're going to usher in Jesus' return. I believe it with all my heart. Amen? Amen? So there's some non-negotiables. And 1 Timothy 1, he warns us about these seducers that dilute God's word. He says, and 1 Timothy 1, 4, he says, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. Now the end of the commandment is charity, out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain janglings. In other words, all of a sudden they started just babbling. Amen? In 1 Timothy 6, and just to clarify this point, I'm just like an attorney to stand before a jury and make it a point. And after the point's made, you vote on it. And if you believe it, you receive it. If you don't, you say nay or yay. Right? You with me? Amen. Hallelujah. But in 1 Timothy 6, verse 3, the word of God says, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to the wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, and the doctrine which is according to godliness, and the doctrine which is according to godliness. Godliness, it comes from the Greek word eusebia. Eusebia means holiness. He says, and the doctrine which is according to holiness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, and evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Amen. So what did the Lord say? What is the first thing he's warned us? That evil men and seducers will come. Why? They're going to persecute you for what? For being godly. You ever had family members say, I don't know what you do. Why you do that? You know, is it just me? Have you heard that? God wants you to hear something. If you go back even to when Jesus was in the wilderness, when Jesus himself was tempted by the adversary, what did Satan do? He diluted the word. He twisted it. He jangled it. He turned it. And that's what the adversary is, just like God is showing us the way that he'll come, especially in these last days. Amen? I think it's time for you and I to have some Holy Ghost moments. You know what I'm getting ready to have? I'm seeking the Lord. I want to have some believer services. Now we reach the lost and we reach the world, but I want to have some believer services. I want to have some believer services where the believers come in together and we have a party. Amen. We have a Holy Ghost celebration. We can allow the Spirit to flow and move in so many mighty ways, and we don't be hindered or held back. Amen? That we can allow the God to stir up the gifts that are within us, even the gifts that are laying dormant, and let those things start operating, let those things start flowing, so some life comes back to the body of Christ. Hallelujah. God wants to bring some life back to the body of Christ. God, you know, there's limbs that haven't been moving. There's legs that haven't been moving. There's places that haven't been moving, and they're getting cramped up, and they have soreness and pain, and God wants us to loosen up. God wants us to loosen up. God wants us to start moving in the Spirit. He starts wanting us to move in every body part and start moving. Do some stretches. Do something. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. It's just like a body that sits there and doesn't do anything. They get all cramped up and stiff. And that's what the church is like today. They're like a bunch of stiff-necked people. And God says, let's loosen up. Let's get loose as a goose and let God flow. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, there's some people that are going to come in here and they're expected to see God move. And we serve a God that's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same God that raised the dead is raising dead today. Amen. Amen. The same God that saved you is the one that's going to save your son, your granddaughters, and your grandsons, and your neighbors. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He hasn't changed. Amen. And God is telling us, hey, let's not try to give the watered-down version. Hello? The world has the watered-down version. They have a picture of what the church is supposed to look like. Amen. Man, I was in a meeting and this week, and all of a sudden, Pat Harrison, and she's like 70-some years old, and she's aging, and her health isn't good, and she hadn't been able to walk. All of a sudden, the Holy Ghost came upon her, and that woman was running around like she looked like a wild woman. And you know what? After she stopped running the Holy Ghost, she went right back to the way she was walking before. It was kind of amazing. She was elderly, and her body wasn't functioning like it was old, and it's starting to fade out. But when she was under the unction of the Holy Ghost, all of a sudden she was doing some things that she never done before. I saw this one time. I heard a story about these cardinals. Benny Hinn was doing a crusade up in New York City, and the Catholic Church was there. And these cardinals were on the front row by the stage, and they came up on top of the stage, and the stage was probably up this high from the floor. And Brother Benny Hinn went in and he laid hands on this cardinal. And this cardinal, he was like 89, 90 years old. He was an old, he flipped backwards off the stage, did a somersault, landed on his feet, ran back up on the stage. And when God does it, he does things that will just blow your mind. You know, I seen this week. I saw several people that were healed. God just did some miraculous healing, and just immediate healing was taking place in bodies. And you know, and these things need to take place. You know why they need to take place? Because our faith needs to be encouraged. Signs and wonders shall follow them that believe. In my name you shall cast out devils. You shall speak in new tongues. You shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Hallelujah. We need to be walking in the fullness of God. We can't walk in the diluted version. We can't walk in the half truth. We got to walk in the whole truth of God and His Word. Amen. You know, when the adversary comes in to dilute the Word, what it does, it deteriorates your faith. Remember, I was reminded of that when I was looking at that, because he said in our text today, they shall wax worse and worse. I was reminded of some of my old vehicles I had. In the early steel industry, every old car that we had rusted. Every car, because it deteriorated, it rusted, there was erosion or deterioration that happened in the vehicle until they got wise and started using galvanized metal. And that's sort of what happens to our faith. When we're not having the whole truth, our faith isn't strong. All of a sudden, it's like that rust. It starts eating away. And then when the storms of life come, there's no strength to hold it back. And the Lord took me to Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah, in Jeremiah 16,
where the Word of God said in verse 12, he said, "And you have done worse than your fathers, for behold, ye walk every one after the imagination of his evil heart, that they may not hearken unto me." And the Lord was showing me something. It's kind of amazing, and this is happening all around the world. Tradition. I have a family that is steeped in tradition. Tradition. Years and years of tradition. My wife's family comes from the Lutheran church, and I'm not knocking Lutherans. It's Methodist, Presbyterian, even Faith Christian Fellowship in some, so I'm not pointing at any church. Don't get me wrong. I'm just using this as an example. The Lutheran church, they belong to a church back in Doe Hill. And back in Doe Hill at this church, there's probably 250 members of this little church, but there's probably 15 that come on a Sunday. And if you would talk to any of them, none of them go to church, but if you would talk to them, were you belong? Yes, I belong to this church. And what the Lord was saying, there are so many people that are steeped in religion, and religion ain't getting you into heaven. An encounter with Jesus is what gets us to heaven. He is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life, and no man can come to the Father but by the Son. So just me belonging to this church ain't going to do a thing for me. It's my relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And in other words, there's thousands and thousands and millions of people that are members of church that most likely the biggest percentage of them will go to hell because they weren't taught about a relationship with Jesus. They were taught about being a member to a church. I want you to understand, Greatest Freedom Ministries cannot save you. There's only one that can save you. His name is Jesus. You know, matter of fact, when we built this church, oh man, when we first built this church, we came indoors. It was perfect. Then we walked in. Then I walked in. Amen. I ain't perfect. I just serve someone that is. Amen. I serve a perfect God. Amen. You know, matter of fact, when it begins to deteriorate our faith, what happens is it deteriorates our soul. You know, matter of fact, Peter says, and the Apostle Peter writes in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 18 says, "For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they lure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escape from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, the same is brought into bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions," that's the masamia. Masamia is infection or defilement, and the word pollution, "of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning." In other words, what the Lord is saying to you and I is, hey, there's people who have great swelling words, but that's just like that bag of chips. It's empty. It doesn't have any validity to it. It's sort of like this. It's sort of like you went out and you went up to the Food Lion grocery store and you purchased you some groceries and you had a $100 bill and you bought $5 worth of stuff, and they gave you $95 worth of change. And in that $95 worth of change, there was four $20 counterfeit bills. And then you went over to the Walmart, you purchased something, and you spent one of those 20s. And then you went over to the Lowe's, and you spent one of them 20s and purchased something. And then you took that other 20, and you were going to deposit back in the bank, but they wouldn't take it because it was fake. See, the stores really don't check their money, but the banks do. And when that money came in, even though that money looked good, and even though that money bought some things and did some good works, it wasn't still real. at the end, when it ended up in the bank, it had no value. And that's what happens when we're not walking in the fullness of God. You know, we're allowing the adversary to dilute the word, and our faith starts to deteriorating. And then we come at the end and we're standing before God, and it's just outward works and there's no inside relationship. Amen. It's counterfeit. Amen. I know about the Lord. He desires an intimate relationship with us. Intimate. Amen. I mean, I serve a God that's love, man. He just blows my socks off. He loves me so much. Even in the midst of my mess, he still loves me. Amen? No matter where I've been, no matter what I've done, it hadn't changed his love for me. Praise God. You know, the Word of God, Jesus talked about this in Luke 21. I'll get ready to do whatever. Luke 21, verse 34 says, "And take heed to yourselves, lest any time your heart be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and so the day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall come upon all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth." So he says, "Watch ye therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." Amen. Amen. God desires for you and I to stand on the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Don't allow the lies of the adversary to come in and weaken our foundation. You know, that's what the adversary, if you were going to tear down a building, if you want to watch a building fall, what do? You hit the foundation. You hit the foundation. And a weak foundation, the building will tumble. And so he deteriorates. And how does he do this? By deception. So turn me to Romans 16. Say amen. Well, Pastor, why are you saying this? Because God's given us a warning of what's to come and what's here, that we can understand it, that we can see it, that it doesn't catch you and I by surprise. In other words, I was somewhere this week, and it's kind of amazing on this phone. You know, the Bible says that, somebody said this to me, it kind of spoke to me. I've got me an iPhone, and in this iPhone, it's always in my hand. I was going through the airport, and as I'm walking through the airport in Dallas, I just, Lord said, look. And I looked, and everybody had an iPhone in their hand. And the Bible says in Revelations that he'll put the mark of the beast. This comes from a mainframe 666. A guy that did it from the beginning, it's called the beast, okay? The mainframe that supports all the internet and things around the world. It was called the beast. And he said he would put that, they would take the mark of the beast. It was 666, and they'd park it in their hand, and it'd be mark of the beast. It'd be in their hand. And it's kind of interesting because we always look like, I always thought they would imprint a tattoo or engrave in your hand, but this number's in everybody's hand. And I'm not, just listen to me, I'm not saying this is theology, but I'm just saying just for example. And if you turn off your phone and look, and I looked at my phone, and on the phone, when I turned on the screen, there was an apple and there was a bite out of it, which represented the Garden of Eden and the apple where Eve and Adam bit of the, hello? So, you know, even though, don't get me wrong, even though there's so much good that we can use this for, there's so much bad that it's used for also. And let me tell you, you can only be on there in a moment and something pops up and you can be in and all of a sudden something will take you somewhere you didn't want to go. And take you further than you ever want to go and keep you longer than you ever want to stay. But I just thought it was interesting that everyone had one of these in their hand. It comes from 666 and it has a bit apple on it. Just saying. Is that food for thought? Pray about it. Now, when I'm standing up saying this, listen to me. I'm not saying the Holy Spirit says. I'm not saying that. I said, I find it interesting. So don't go and say, oh, that pastor, he isn't into intelligence and technology. He's trying to down the internet. No, there's all kinds of access that it has. But I just thought it was interesting that it comes from 666, that it's in everyone's hand, and it has a bit apple on it. Okay. Praise God. Okay, let's look at Romans chapter 16, talk about deceiving. Romans 16, 17 says, now beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine, which ye have learned, and avoid them. Look at it again. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine, which ye have learned, and avoid them. In other words, if they water it down and it's not the full truth, it's a half truth. Is that what you've been taught? I believe I serve a God that's a God of all the way. I don't serve a part way God. Amen? And when Jesus went to the cross, he didn't go halfway to it. Amen? He went all the way to it. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience has come abroad unto all men, and I'm glad therefore on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. And when I was looking at that, the Lord took me to Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 14. That says that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie and wait to deceive, but bespeaking the truth in love may grow up into all things which is the head, even Christ. You know, there's so many winds that have come to the church. And I want you to understand something. You know, for example, I have an evangelistic heart, but in my evangelistic heart, it can't just be the one side. The gospel is full. In other words, if I taught you just on that one principle, if all of a sudden prosperity, if all I wanted to do is teach you prosperity, I left out the rest. And there's so many winds of doctrine that have come to the Church of God. They follow this for a season, and they follow this for a season, and they follow this for a season, and they follow this for a season. God says, just follow me. Not me, him. Not me, his word. Amen? Remember, it's the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Amen? Amen? So let's not get caught up inside. Matter of fact, the writer of Hebrews says, in closing, y'all like that. In Hebrews chapter 3, the word of God says, in verse 12, take heed, brethren, lest there be any in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened to the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Amen. Amen. What God is saying to you and I in closing today is simple this. The adversary will come to dilute his word. When he dilutes the word, it will deteriorate our faith. This deterioration will come by deception. He's the master of deception. He is the master of deception. But the Lord tells you and I, and the prophet Hosea said in Hosea chapter 14, I love Jesus' word. I love God's word. And Hosea 14, verse number 9, it says, who is wise and shall understand these things? Prudent, and he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them. But the transgressors shall fall therein. Amen? God loves each and every one of you. He has a plan in every life that's in the room. You know, I serve a God that keeps giving and giving and giving and giving. We serve a God that says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He said, how shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? He says, how beautiful are the mountains at the feet of him that proclaim the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. God wants you to know today that he has some good things in store for you and I. All he is saying to you and I today is simply, hey, beware. We live in a world that is wicked. You know, the Bible says, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Amen. But they that shall endure to the end. He is saying to you and I, let's be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Bow your heads and let us pray.